On today's Re-Stomp podcast, we'll look back at the draft from this week. Freo with a couple of selections, a midfielder, a forward, and a new key defensive prospect. We'll get the Chiefs' thoughts on that. Got a potential train on coming on. Late news today with Seb Kueck, hopefully for our list's sake, getting onto the long-term injury list so we can get another body in. Get that. A whole lot more. Right after we start wearing purple with Goggle Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish. I promise, it's just a matter of time. So, yeah.
Welcome to the Re-Stomp Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonald, joined by a man. Well, I don't know. The review of his tea that he had pre-podcast was ordinary. And I hope Louise listens to this because, you know, maybe he won't get one next week. That is Greg, the ungrateful tea receiver Dwyer.
Oh. Mate, that's a tradition, this news.
You've got to show some appreciation. That's not nice.
No. Well, constructive feedback.
Wasn't much constructive.
No, I'm pretty safe.
Where was the constructive nature of that?
I'm pretty safe. She doesn't listen.
She doesn't listen?
Right. No. Yeah. She's like, yeah, if I'm going to waste half an hour on you, idiots.
So I thought that, and then I said, Chloe didn't know footy from a bar of soap. All of a sudden, I got myself in trouble.
So. That's right. So, yeah, where have you been?
Sorry?
All week, man. Like, you got me on standby. Oh, look, I might fit you in for a pod. Probably can't, but we'll see how we go. Where you been? What's been going on?
Some of us have businesses to run, children to look after, houses to clean.
You've been over at Monster
Truck. I'm not fortunate enough to be semi-retired and have a servant just waiting on your hand and foot that I complain about how bad the tea is. We're not all that fortunate.
You've been over at Monster Trucks, haven't you?
No.
Yes, you are.
Living on the coast, if we're gonna go to the beach, it's like a full day adventure. We're gonna stop at the petrol station twice to get there. You gotta walk. It takes you like 2 minutes to get down to the beach. You talk to me about this.
Spending too much time down there, Jojo.
Give me a break.
Spending too much time down there.
Yeah, I don't appreciate the photos either, to be honest.
I know. But you know what? If I'm hanging out with surfers and kite surfers, I might start saying dude a lot before, you know.
You're sending through photos. I'm in a hot box warehouse at about when it's 42 degrees outside.
Yeah.
Don't want to see pictures of someone at the beach.
No. That was, but then we went to the French patisserie down there. Mate, you should come down to that joint, Jojo. It goes all right.
Yeah, sure. So, what day is it? Like, this is a Tuesday at what, like 10:30 in the morning or 11 o'clock in the morning or something?
Yeah, but I'm a shift worker. Mm. Yeah. Shift work to anyone else. So.
How excited did you get about the draft this week?
Oh, as excited as I am for this cup of tea. But it wasn't too exciting, was it? Let's be honest.
It was a weird one, wasn't it? I love draft night. And the fact that we didn't have picks didn't really bother me coming in this because you kind of had that hint that we might look for it. We might try and trade in to that first round that went two rounds.
Yeah.
And it sounded like we did, but it didn't sound like we kind of got too serious about it because offering one of those future firsts for the pick of the GWS Giants, I think that was the one that was kind of up for grabs.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a lot better offers out there than what we were putting forward.
Oh, I'm glad we didn't do it.
Yeah, same. I as well.
Yeah. But the night was still good, though. I mean, when you watch it on TV.
There was plenty going on. It seemed like maybe more of the kids were in the room.
Yeah, they all got invited.
That adds a bit to it.
20 people with them. Each kid got invited, so they'd probably taken a few footy mates, and so there was a lot more. There were a lot more kids that got picked up that were in the room. Whether that was deliberate or by accident, but there was definitely a lot more there. My concerns over the total night, Jojo, when I saw it, was the absence of COVID masks and social distancing. They're packed in like sardines, Jojo, hugging and handshaking. You know, we're in our 18th wave. So that was a bit concerning. We probably picked up COVID. As long as they've had their 15th booster, then I guess that was okay. But that was a real worry. That was a real concern, Jojo.
How are you still – most people are over this. You're not.
No, we're in our 18th wave. It's just been nonstop. I can't remember the other 17 waves, but apparently we're in our 18th wave. So it's a bit concerning.
Oh, come on, get over it. No, but someone seriously.
You're
kidding me. I did a bit of cleaning up today at home, and just speaking of COVID, opened up one of the kitchen cupboards, and about 40 test kits fell out that Sonny brought home from primary school.
Mate, we had to flog those now. It's back.
Well, I think they're out of code.
I'll just do it. Just sell them.
We didn't do a preview on the draft this year because it's kind of unclear where we were going to pick unless we just held our picks, which we kind of really did in the end and sat in the 30s. Is there a player in the first round that you really like the look of, you know, not necessarily wanting or needing them at Freo, but that kind of stood out to you?
Absolutely, there was. I'm never going to get him because he went really early. He was always going to go early. But the kid that went to Hawthorn, Nick Watson, I loved it. I just thought, I mean, again, you never know too much about these kids. You watch what you can.
Oh, no, I just mean like the highlights that come up and.
Yeah, he was great. And
whatever. Like some kids just kind of jump off the screen to.
Yeah, he did.
Just like, I like that. I like that one.
Yeah, and I think he could have been, you know, he could have been a need at Freo. But I like the fact that he said he was, you know, he's always been told he's too short. He was too short to play AFL. So, and I like that. But, and there may have been some weight to those claims because. You know, he said he really looked up to his mentor, Boomer Harvey. So there's a chance he is a bit short, you know, if you're looking up to Boomer Harvey. So, I did like his highlights, and I thought, but yeah, he was always going to go pick five. But
I hope he doesn't take too many of Boomer Harvey's off-field traits into his career. Isn't Boomer the one that won the club raffle and then took the prize for himself?
Yeah, knock the car off and see you later.
See you later, guys.
Yeah.
It's meant to go in the team fund, but not this year.
That's right. And he got Crowe's charge how many times?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We thought, yeah. Jeez. Crowe's in luck. He still seemed like he was filthy on that.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He had to pay that fine. So
I kind of like Dersma. He went the pick before. I like the way he moved. I reckon North got a good one there.
Better than his brother?
Well, that wouldn't be hard at this point, would it? He's pretty much only got the bow and arrow.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if he didn't have that, you know, would you?
Well, Port let him go in the end, didn't they? I mean, he's off to.
Yeah, he's gone.
He made it to the Bombers, didn't he?
Yeah, was it the Bombers? Yeah, might have been. Yeah, he's definitely left Port anyway. So, what about Riley Sanders, Jojo? Gone to the Bulldogs. Grew up barracking for the Gold Coast. Hey, who grows up barracking for the Gold Coast?
Well, it's funny you should say that, but at Christchurch when a coach, there was a bunch of kids that had GWS and Gold Coast jumpers.
Oh, there was not.
There was. Honest to God.
What's the lure there?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe their mates got picked there or don't know. But, yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
I don't really. Yeah. Riley Sanders was the one that North was trying to get through the doors as an NGA.
Oh, really?
I don't think it ended up coming through, or if it did, he wasn't eligible in the end because he went too high. But did you get sick of hearing North Melbourne make picks the other night? They had five, in that first round, didn't they, in the end?
They actually did, didn't five. They? They had a stack five. Of them. Yeah. In that first
round. And then they took Riley Hardiman. When I heard that we were looking at kind of trading into the first round, here's the one that I kind of thought he'd be decent with Young if he's going to spend more time in the midfield. Having another one off the halfback that can use the ball that well.
Yep.
He kind of stood out to me as one that I thought looked like a Freo player possibly, but not to be.
You know, anyway. Speaking of how many times North picked in that first round, I find it's amazing that 5 minutes out of the game, you can rejuvenate yourself from being burnt out. Because I'm looking at Dimmer at the Gold Coast, Jojo. He might need another 5 minutes out of the game because how many times did he have to climb the stairs to match the academy bids?
Yeah.
How's that league equalisation policy going?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a massive problem with this. I've got to be honest. I don't even think they should bother putting him through the draft. Like, what's the point? What? If you want kids that have grown up in Queensland and to play in the zones with the Queensland clubs and they are otherwise, and they're legitimate guys that would not have played AFL footy had Gold Coast or Brisbane not been there to kind of foster their development, Well, it's kind of in the competition's better interest for them to go there, isn't it?
Probably.
I mean, if they don't have like some kind of success or some kind of way of competing, like the football states have obviously got an environment where football players want to play, want to live and be in the football culture. Gold Coast definitely don't have that. They're going to get evened up. The AFL's shown their hand with North this year. They'll just give picks out willy-nilly. Like, you're better off having someone that's, you know, been there, is kind of legitimately a Gold Coast person, is good enough. And obviously, Jed Walter from Dunsborough is good enough and he's happy to be at the Gold Coast. Like, that's the kind of player you want to be on the Suns, isn't it? You'd rather them do that than than have an extra 4 first-round picks next year, Gold Coast. Let's see if we can bump you up the ladder a bit.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
It's a weird one. I think that first round this year, apart from the fact that it was hard to watch because there's 29 picks and 18 teams, I think that it's going to do good things in future years because there's not many clubs, surely, that are going to accept that going forward. Like, you can't have a repeat of that next year. That was ridiculous.
It really was, wasn't it? It's
well, by the time you have the father sons and the academies and the this and that and everything else, like, it's too, like, that word compromised, like, it's way too compromised in a competition which supposedly uses the draft as equalization measure.
Yeah,
like, how unequal can you have the night?
So what do you do? How do they rectify?
Well, I think you got to scrap the NGA bidding rules.
Yeah.
Like, that made us miss out on, Mitch. We only just missed out on him. 8 more picks and we had him.
Okay.
Mitch Edwards.
Yeah.
Like, you give access to the academies, the NGAs, to the teams that develop the talents. So, otherwise, what's the point?
So what happens, though? So, you
bid on them the same. But yeah. It's at the moment, it's all over the shop.
Well, you're not. I can't imagine why you would put so much time, effort, and resources into the NGA if you're going to not have access to them.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I don't know, and maybe they can do something outside the draft. And it seems that it's so kind of subjective. We'll bid on this guy here. We'll bid on this guy here, and almost like Carlton did it to us just to be assholes when they bid on Liam because there's no way he was going in the top 10.
Yeah,
like, no chance at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a bit strange. It's like I think we referred to it once, like the taxation system. You know, they've just kind of put band-aids on here, tacked on something there, and you turn around and have a look, and then it's so hard. How are you going to unwind it? Like, how are you going to fix it?
Yeah,
it seems very, very difficult to do it in 1 year.
So it's like how the financial monetary systems on the verge of collapsing and going to cryptocurrency.
Maybe. But I think that you can't unwind everything. But I think what you can do is make it more of an even playing field. And I think, you know, these clubs that haven't got this long and illustrious history of having father-son prospects come through. And I think, you know, the Bulldogs have had their 7th 200-centimetre key forward or ruck or key defender come through this year. And Matty Croft's kids.
Yeah.
Or having the Northern Academies or having whatever it is. Like, clubs like us, father-sons are obviously few and far between. NGA is pretty much inaccessible at this point. You know, you kind of need to level it out a bit.
Got to do something, don't you?
You do.
Do you know Sonny's the only dad at Fremantle? I know where
presently on the list.
Yeah. I know we're a very young side, but that's no excuse. What are they doing? Get out there.
Well, you got to be careful what you wish for. You don't follow the NBA, do you? But there's it's kind of blown up on social media in the last 24 hours. Josh Giddey, who's an Australian basketballer.
Yeah.
I think he's 21. He's been getting out there. But unfortunately, there's allegedly the person he was getting out there with wasn't quite of age. So,
oh.
I did say allegedly.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to be doing
that. Allegedly. You've got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Be careful what you say, too.
Just have a cup of tea and stay at home, guys.
Yeah. No, don't. No. There's a balance. You strike a balance.
All right, our first pick, Cooper Simpson. What are your thoughts? I just say this just before you say anything, that he was a steal. He was a legitimate steal, but so was Billy Wilson at 34, Angus Hastie at 33, Mitch Edwards at 32.
Yep.
Like, watching that coverage, everyone was in Shifter's top 20 and Ablett's top 20.
Yeah.
There was about 55 guys in each of their top 20s.
Yeah, that's
not saying that Cooper Simpson's no good, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Why do we have to say he's a steal every time someone makes a pick?
And can I just say, can we place a moratorium on the use of the word surreal and super? Oh, I'm super stoked, super grateful, super excited, super this, super that. Let's get rid of that now. Right. I 10 minutes in, I'd seen three interviews and I'm done.
I thought this Simpson character would have stood out to you. It was almost... The one thing that kind of popped for me was just him being so articulate and so forthright and saying he wanted to be a one club player and how important loyalty was and how he wanted to get over there and dig in. And his coaches were saying there was one guy that was hanging around to do, ground balls and all the rest of it. He just stopped working.
His nickname's Extras.
Yeah.
That is his nickname, actual nickname, because he was always there wanting to do extra things at training.
And you love this guy.
Yep.
He ticks all the boxes for you.
The minute he stops saying super this, super that, and it's surreal, I'm on board. Says that one more time, he's out. Done. I think he's good, Joe. I mean, he's a pick 35, whatever that means. To be honest now, it's all irrelevant, whether you went at 2 or you went at 20 or 30 or whatever. You're on a list.
It's irrelevant. How's it irrelevant?
It doesn't make any difference now. Like, you're on a list.
Really?
Why does it make difference now?
Well, it kind of makes a little bit of a difference, doesn't it?
How's that? How so?
Well, pick 2 was Colby McKercher.
So what?
I'd say
how many games has he played?
Yeah, okay. All right.
But I think we went after him and we jumped up. Then we traded with Richmond to jump up a couple of spots.
So they must have, but where were we? We're at
38
or 40. Yeah, I think that got pushed back though. I think we're at 40 or something like that, 40 or 41 or something like that.
So we jumped from there to 35.
Yeah, so there was obviously concern that either Geelong, Collingwood, West Coast, Essendon, whatever, we're going to pick him in the meantime, right?
Yeah.
So I like the idea of trading up and grabbing someone. That makes me feel good.
Yeah, it kind of makes you feel like he was their first pick, but they sort of thought, he's still there. We better try and, or maybe it was thinning out. I'm not sure beyond that, but I reckon they grabbed him with the vacant wing in mind, and maybe not this year, but
really,
yeah, I do. Yeah. Because he's played. I mean, he's an inside outside mid, but he's played wing, and he's got speed. And he's got good skills, both sides of the body, and he kicks goals. So
that was the one thing. He hits the scoreboard.
Yeah. So I reckon they might have – and he's got endurance too. So I think –
it's going to make you feel good if you're Cooper Simpson to know that the club wanted you that much that they gave up the additional selection to move up.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good way to come into a job, isn't it? That, they've traded an additional asset to get you in.
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than just hanging around and say, we'll just take the next best guy at 40 or 41 or whatever.
That's right. So, it sort of shows that they valued him pretty highly. So, it's a good get. I think it's a good get. And look, we'll find out in 12 months, 18 months, 2 years. But I like – it's a stupid thing to say. I'm a one-club player before you've even put your jumper on. But I like that he said it because now you can hold him to it.
It's a good attitude to have coming.
It is a good attitude.
Yeah. Your agent's probably like kind of staring at the floor.
He's like, what are you saying, man? What are you saying? Yeah. But no, it's good. He had no hesitation of coming over here, wanting to stay here. So Yeah.
For him to say that being picked at 35, that's where a difference between being picked 35 and pick 2 is different. Because pick 35, you know you're going to have to come in and earn every single thing that you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
he'd be very slim chance of getting a look in at playing league footy next year. Something like he would have to be like performing out of the box and have probably. To have injuries probably to get a game next year, I would imagine.
Anyway. I would think so.
But if you pick 2 coming in and you're not saying I'm a one club player and whatever, you're probably a forward a little bit more.
And you're coming in with
opportunity because of the level that you're kind of evaluated.
And you're coming in with a sense of entitlement. Some little,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, but I mean, that's where the changes, right? Like he'll come in with a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, probably. But I don't know. You just
in a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. I think he's pretty well adjusted. He sounds pretty well adjusted, doesn't he? And I mean,
but he just sounds like one of those guys that's okay. I'll prove you wrong. I'll just work harder and prove you wrong.
Prove you wrong. Yeah. Yep. Bit of Tommy Emmett style.
Well, it's a bit of a common theme.
It is, isn't it?
Or it's a characteristic that seems common amongst the guys we've drafted lately.
Is that one of our criteria?
Proving the knockers wrong?
Yeah, we might. Yeah,
if it is, I'm all about that. That's great.
It is, isn't it? So it's personal enticement. You know, it's, incentive. You know, from
the guy that everyone kept on going on about as being the steal of the draft was Ollie Murphy, a key position prospect. Key position backs and forwards, you know, you can say they're top liners or they're going to be this, they're going to be that. You don't know. These big guys take time. They can be up and down with their form.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for us to bolster ourselves in, though, I think. You know, this kind of guy, was he 200 centimeters?
Yeah.
He's a big kid. Well credentialed. The highlights stack up. You know, you seem taking grabs and the way he was playing and down back for the Vic side.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on him? I don't know a lot about him, but.
No, I kept hearing that stupid, you know, he's a steal, he's this, he's that, whatever. So I went back in the last 18 months and tried to find articles on him and, you know, commentary and whatever else. And I've got to say, there is a stack of, this is 12 months ago, 18 months ago, whenever it was. There were a lot of times where they were saying he's going to go top 15, top 20. So
okay, that's good.
Yeah, so I sort of thought, okay, well maybe. But then we obviously valued Cooper Simpson more highly than him. So
yeah.
I think you know it's ridiculous how often they say he's a steal, but I think maybe we did get him a little bit. Cheaper. And if you go back and have a look at his CV and his highlights, yeah, he's probably may have slid through, you know. You know, the one thing with him though is we love players, Jada, you and I both love players that have an awareness. You know, they've got that awareness about them and that awareness of their surrounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit concerned. Ollie doesn't know if he's been to Perth or not before. I'm not, mate, you serious? He got interviewed. And, have you been to Perth before? I'm not too sure. So that worries me a little bit. You don't know where he is at any given time. But no, I think he's going to be good. You know, in his highlights, you just see certain things that you know strike your memory or make you think of something. And I saw sort of shades of people were saying Alex Pearce. I saw shades of. Drawn a blank. Who did we just lose to Sydney?
Joel Hamling.
Going blank. I just saw just actions and you know, when a couple of those marks he took, it just reminded me of, you know, Hamling when, you know, he was up and about. So you get a young Joel Hamling, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, 100%. But I think in terms of where our list is at, to have him and Hugh Davies now as developing key backs.
Yep.
And, you know, there's relatively little pressure on him in particular. He's going to come in and know that he's going to be at Peel more than likely for the best part of 2-3 seasons.
Yep.
Because unless Cox, Pierce, Ryan, probably Hugh Davies, as well as Oscar McDonald go down, you would think that, there's very little chance he's getting a look in. So he's getting no pressure and plenty of time to work on his defensive craft down at Peel. And I think we've got a pretty good record of developing players at the moment.
Yeah, we have.
We've had plenty come through and plenty of them improving, even playing at the waffle level.
Yep.
So, good environment for him to come get better. And hopefully in a few years, we see him wearing the purple once Alex Pierce hangs them up or puts the green devil's jumper on, whatever it is.
Captaincy of Tassie. I think, and he's well aware of that. And because he was, I saw him say, or heard him say in one of his interviews, yeah, I've got to beef up, I've got to put some bulk on. And so I don't think he's under any illusion that he's going to be starting next year, you know.
But that, so, I mean, that's what, that makes sense for us to invest in a player that needs that, right?
Definitely.
I mean, when we go to the horse sales with Robbie Gilberti, we don't have the money of the Millers and the Mortons and the Bigst and the Durants, the Bigst Stables, much everyone else. Huh?
We? Robbie Gilbert in mind, but you have.
Well, I don't.
Man, you've funded his whole stable.
No, but he goes through the book and he looks for late foals, the ones that are going to need an extra 6 to 9 months in the paddock, yep. Put on a bit of weight, put on a bit of muscle, grow into their bodies. They're the ones we should be looking for.
Mm. Didn't he say
there's plenty of value there if you're willing to be patient, right?
Didn't he say at the sales the other day, oh, this one's $500,000? You said, yeah, buy two. You did do that, didn't you? You're unbelievable.
I wish.
You're
Yeah, we got unlucky down at Bunbury last week on Samphire Rose.
Yeah, thanks for the tip, by the way.
Stumbled about. Well, what'd she run? Fourth.
Yeah, exactly. I gave my ticket to the thing. I said, it was a good run. I said, what does that get me? Nothing.
Well, at least you didn't drive down to Bunbury for 15 minutes to watch the race and then quickly drive back to work.
You're a nut.
That was my day. Pick 60, Jack Delane, he kind of filled a need as well as being, I think he was one of the players that Reedy has been banging on about. He's liked him as well as Colin Sanchez, but I think Delane, he'd like, I remember seeing some of his posts earlier on, he liked him.
Well, Reedy liked pick Jack Delane, did he?
He identified him as one of the guys that Freo should target.
Serious, well done. That's a good
pick. A lot higher than 60 though.
Okay. It's a good pick.
But he was projected to go a lot higher than that earlier.
Oh, he's a steal. He was a steal.
He reacted pretty well to being picked, didn't he?
Yeah, because he must have thought like, oh, we're getting the pick 60. I'm in strife here. I might not make it on the
list. But at
least
at 60, you get a guaranteed deal. If you go through to the rookie the rookie draft, you're not on the same deal. You're not on the same contract. You don't have the kind of security.
Yeah.
He gets himself on the list proper.
Yep.
At pick 60. And so he's the fifth last guy to be picked in the draft.
Yep.
When you were sitting there probably watching, everyone's been telling you, oh, no, you probably go 30s, 40s, whatever.
Yeah.
Gets to 60. But he even whipped out the old flag mantle.
He did.
He was onto it.
I think he's one of those, he's got a character and he's got a personality. So that's what we've been missing. So get him in. But you would have done it. You'd start to become a little bit, I thought we're going to see Matty Johnson type tears here. That's what I thought we were going to see, Jodo. But no.
With 29 picks in the first round, there wasn't much chance of that this year.
No, there wasn't, was there? But I tell you what, I've got some ear damage. My ears are still ringing from his mum screaming. So that was great, wasn't it? She went off a tree. She was screaming. So it is good to see, isn't it? When the families, the kid gets picked and they go bananas. That's good. It's good viewing.
I don't think any of our picks particularly impact our season next year.
No.
But in terms of the most likely to play, I reckon he would almost be the most likely to play.
Yep. Yeah, I tend to agree. I think
because you know, we get a couple of injuries, like Switter's been injured, Freddie's been injured.
Schultz's gone.
Sonny's going to be another year older. Schultz's gone. Like, there might be, if he could bob up at Peel and, you know, kick a couple of goals a couple of weeks in a row and put on the defensive pressure that JL insists is applied, it's not beyond the realms of possibility he could get a Guernsey at some point.
No, that's right. That's right. And, I mean, he's someone that you can... Like, even if he's going to, we don't want to do it, but even if he comes on with the sub vest, you know, you can give him a taste, can't you? So
are they doing the sub vest next year? Wasn't there a rumor going around that we're just going to have five on the bench? Or did that get squashed?
Oh, really? Oh, let's hope that's the case.
I did hear that somewhere.
Mm.
It could be in the meantime. We got... Who did we get in the rookie? We got Odin Jones from West Perth.
Yeah.
I think a big guy, labeled a ruck, but it looks like they're going to try and train him up to play forward.
Yeah.
Maybe create some kind of forward and pinch hitting ruckman. So that leaves it, if he is a ruck, that gives us almost five rucks on the list, doesn't it?
It's a bit strange, isn't it?
It's very ruck heavy. So they must be looking to do something else to him or with him.
I think Lloyd Meek is sort of, set us off to be a ruck farm. So we get these rucks up and about and then we sell them.
So. Peel's going to need a third. So we've got enough room to play all these rucks.
So we can play the rucks, that's right. Yeah. But he's 96 kilos for an 18-year-old. That's pretty good going. So he's...
it is.
He's got the size. Does he put a bit of pressure on our man Josh Tracy, Birdman?
Wouldn't have thought so.
No?
No.
If that's where they're training him up for?
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, I feel like Josh Tracy's pressure's coming from the three first-round draft picks that we've got next year.
Oh, next year. Yeah. Yeah,
like he'd be looking at them, just like bloody hell. I better clunk a few marks and kick a few goals in 2024 because I can see those the future first from Port Adelaide staring at me from the stands.
Pressure's coming.
It's not looking good, huh?
Pressure's coming. So that's it.
It's it'd be hard having that kind of intangible asset or the tangible asset kind of staring at you from the offices of or the former offices of Peter Bell and. Now, the office of Joe Brady and JL, they'll just be sitting there in the window staring out at the field, knowing that they're coming for you.
Mate, you'd feel their eyes burning in the back of your head, wouldn't you? So.
Without a joke, no joke though, but you put yourself in Josh Tracy's shoes and all the talk of Logan McDonald and, I think it's pretty clear that if we are going to trade for someone and use those picks, they're going to want to bolster the forward half.
Yeah, definitely. They absolutely. Like, and he would know midfield, that.
But you'd assume it's going to be the forward half.
But I reckon.
So it's going to be a tall. So if you're a tall in the forward line, they're not replacing Jackson. They're not replacing Amos.
No.
Like he's under the pump.
Yeah, but you know what? I reckon he'd welcome it. I reckon he's that type of guy that's confident. He's confident in his own ability. And I don't think it would be worrying him too much, to be honest.
I'm not saying it's necessarily worrying him, but I mean, you'd be acutely aware of it, surely.
I did, you'd be aware of it, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think it'll affect him. If he doesn't perform this year, it won't be because of that. So
I still like the idea of sending him back.
I wouldn't say no to that. So it could be interesting.
Are you as excited as everyone else in Perth about the chosen one? The great saviour arriving today. I think the back page of the West tomorrow, someone's come up with a really inspired headline of Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This kid hasn't even got here yet. He's in a world of pain. He's in so much trouble.
I'm not kidding. That kid is... He should get an Oscar. He's that good of an actor. Telling all these people, I want to be here and I want to do this and... getting around in a West Coast jumper. He's a good actor. There's no way he wanted to come here.
Maybe not, but he'll get looked after. West Coast, when like Judd came, he had like a multi-million-dollar stock portfolio like 3 months after he landed. Like he's going to get the full treatment.
Yeah, they give it out now, Hungry Jack stores. Jeez. Oh, no. Harley Jacks.
I don't know. You'd need to do some kind of preparation for it. Like, it's going to be hectic for him. Imagine if he plays some crap games early on.
It's the Beatles again, isn't it? It's the Beatles Mark II. That's the kind of, hype they're already going with. It's crazy. And you actually feel sorry for him because, like, he's on a hiding to nothing now. Everyone expects him to come in and be Dusty Martin straight away. And when he doesn't, or if he doesn't, the kid's on a hiding to nothing.
I mean, so that's the back page on the on the paper. And the other day they had him, they're welcome to Hollywood or something along those lines.
But we know that's the West now. They just trash.
No, I know, but it's like they're buying, they're like a caricature of their own selves. They're just buying into the buying into the commentary.
No, actually, they're a parody. It's a parody of its own paper. And it's ridiculous.
It's pretty strange.
On on with Arlie on draft night, did you see the West Coast Eagles room? They had 18 guys crammed in there around the table.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The room was filled with grey hair and glasses, Jojo. A lot of succession roles. a lot of succession roles going on there, I think. So, Nizzy at the back.
Do you know what was weird about that first pick, right?
Yeah.
Last year, in rounds 21, 22, where 18th place changed hands a couple of times, and we were told, no, we want to win. Winning is more important than the number one pick.
Yeah.
Like, how can that be the case? And then so much conjecture and, you know, all these offers come forward from North Melbourne to West Coast for the number one pick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Why the hell did those teams win those games?
I don't know.
This is so dumb.
It's...
The two things can't both be true, that winning's more important. Like, how is a meaningless win in a season where you cooked, how is that more important than getting the guy that you're willing to offer up three first-round picks for?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But I guess it's that...
culture. Great culture. Well, it's all good for the culture.
The players don't care.
The players couldn't get less, surely. No. Come on. And you don't have to tell them to lose. You just put them in a position to lose.
Yeah, I know, but is it...
Play Oscar Allen in a back pocket or something. Just, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. What's the difference?
I know, I'm with you. I'm just trying to think of a way why it actually happened. I'm not sure.
The whole lead up to it, and even like the lead up to the actual draft when, will they trade, will they not? It was like, you just reference back to that, you know, we've got to win at all costs. It's like, well, that kind of seems stupid. And it seems even stupider now for North.
Yeah.
Them trying to trade for the first pick, having had it in their possession, but then won a meaningless game.
Yes. That's right. Far out. Yeah. Didn't you just told me off air, I'd forgotten about it. About what's he done getting around in the North Melbourne jumper last year, 2 years back.
Oh, everyone's saying, Harley Reid, I don't want to come to West Coast in the dumb voice because he's wearing his Eagles jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you remember Jason Horne Francis. He doesn't want to come to North Melbourne, and they have the picture of him sleeping in his North Melbourne jumper. that aged pretty well, didn't it?
Short memories, haven't we? Short memories. Yeah.
I think West Coast and North are two different clubs. So, like, I'm quite obviously not a fan of West Coast, but they've got a pretty good record of retaining Victorians.
Yeah, they have.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't be backing Harley Reid to pack his bags and demand a trade at the end of this year or the end of next year.
No, I tend to agree. I think he'll come along with Jimby and whoever else they get, and I reckon they might.
Well, the other thing is, as well, you see the legacy, right? Like, you see the, you know, Judd. So, Judd decided he wanted to go home. He won a flag here. Like, what, he won a Brownlow here? Did he win a Brownlow here?
I think he won a Brownlow here. Yeah.
Like, he kind of did everything he wanted to do and then found a way back home later. Like, there's no rush.
No,
like,
that's right. That's right. And he's going to get big money wherever he is.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
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 I'll tell you the one, just thinking about it, George, it was that Phoenix Gothard. And I love that story. He was there as a special guest of Connor Sullivan, who went to Geelong at pick 11. And Connor Sullivan's getting interviewed, and then his mate gets called out, and he up and legs it to go celebrate from the interview.
I liked how he did ask the Geelong guy in front of him. He's like, "Can I go?
Can I go? Yeah, that's right." So yeah, but see, I thought. Phoenix Gothard, I thought the Saints would have done their best to get him, given he's Brendan Goddard's nephew. So I would have thought he would have. No, he is. But did you not know that?
Sorry, just before the podcast, you said you had a Phoenix Gothard joke and you didn't want to tell me because you were afraid it was going to fall flat. If you told me beforehand, but just to be ready for it.
Hasn't finished yet. You just ruined it.
You can tell it now.
Well, he's Brendan Goddard's nephew. So But the poor kid's got a lisp. So.
Come on.
Oh, man. We've got no content, Jody. We're doing our best.
Well, and that's not helping matters, is
no,
it?
No, it's not. It's not, but it's stretching it out. I tell you what, I reckon there was. I saw Robert Harvey get up and give a couple of jumpers to the St Kilda kids. He could get recruited. He hasn't aged a day since he left. Has not aged a day.
It's funny you should mention that. Just saying, he's got a very square body and head, though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he was an athlete.
No. But he was amazing. He run all day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. What was annoying me was the comparisons. Every player had to be likened to someone or compared to someone. And some player, I can't remember who it was, I couldn't be bothered going back to look, but some player got compared to and likened to Lachie Schultz. Now,
oh, really?
I don't know about you, but I reckon, I'm going to ask you, do you think if Collingwood hadn't recruited him, would anyone have known to liken anyone to Lachie Schultz?
Yep. No, yeah, you wouldn't think so.
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. How far they go with that.
He's a superstar now.
Yeah, Collingwood superstar. So,
do you know another story to come out of the draft? The Perth Wildcats had their second player drafted.
What?
Well, Hugh Greenwood left us on the eve of the season a few years back to move to the Adelaide Crows. He quit on the Wildcats.
Was he on the Wildcats? Hugh Greenwood. List?
Yeah, he was a really good player. He played 5 years at Utah. He was on the cusp of playing for Australia, playing for the Boomers, and then he quit basketball to go play for Adelaide.
Right. I didn't know that.
So he was ready to play for the Wildcats this year. And then, although I think this guy may have been cut, or he may still be a development player, I'm not sure. He was definitely there last year, Ollie Hayes Brown. Mm-hmm. You'd like him. Massive mullet, massive unit.
Oh.
Richmond's added him as a, what are they, Cattery B, I think, Cat B rookie.
Okay.
Yeah, second Wildcat on an AFL list. Jeez. There you go.
The Wildcats are losing, aren't they?
They're coming. They're kind of coming good.
They need to. Hutchie needs
he needs the cash.
He's in a bit of strife, old Hutchie. So, hey, what about how thrilled did Dan Curtin look to go to the Crows?
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, can you gauge it by that?
Yeah, absolutely, you can.
You can?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, oh my God.
Mate, there's worse clubs for him to go to. They've got a pretty good record with key position players, especially defenders. Like, if he starts, or if he plays key position defence there, they know how to grow him into very good players.
But I wonder where he wanted to go, really. I mean, obviously he wanted to stay here, but he probably knew that wasn't going to happen. So I wonder where he actually did prefer to go. So, but
where were the picks before were Melbourne and the Bulldogs, and the ones after were Gold Coast, Essendon, Geelong, GWS. So
you could end up at Gold Coast, wouldn't
I? What's wrong with Adelaide? Adelaide's good. I wouldn't mind. If I couldn't stay at home and play for the club I wanted to play for, Adelaide'd be fine, wouldn't it?
You wouldn't last 5 minutes in Adelaide.
I went to Adelaide a couple of weeks ago.
I know. You didn't last 5 minutes. You came on.
I actually didn't. It was an overnight trip.
So there you go.
But there's nothing wrong with it. Adelaide's fine. I've been to Adelaide a bunch of times.
You planned to be there for 2 weeks and you lasted a day.
We got kind of a rough confirmation that Jeremy Sharp will be heading here. I think Rhino said he's going to be training on Monday and told us he's his Guernsey number, which I don't remember because
14.
Who cares? 14. Mm. I think Cooper, what's his name? Cooper got 29. Didn't he? Did he get, I think you got Pab's number.
No, it was Ollie, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Ollie, was it?
Or was it? Oh, you should have researched.
Anyway. He's the one player, I think, and I've seen a few people do their best 22s or starting 22s for next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on probably not a huge limb, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I reckon he starts on a wing next year.
You reckon he starts round one on a wing?
Yeah.
That's a pretty big call. I don't think he does.
You don't think he does?
I mean, we've got to see pre-season, but I don't. I think there's a lot of players that we've got now that can play, well, you know, Johnson, Erasmus, you know, can go out there. I think the players that aren't in the team have got to earn their
yeah, maybe, but stripes. I just think through the preseason he'll get opportunity to play in the warm-up games and intra-club practice. Especially. I just think that he'll stand out as being probably at the moment our best pure winger.
Yeah, you're probably right. Liam going, I suppose we... I mean, I guess it all depends on what the Disco does too, doesn't it?
A lot of these other guys that we have around there, they're all inside-out guys. Like, no one's really just purely a wing player or an outside player.
Yeah, he's that's true. That's true. He's the quintessential winger, isn't he? So,
but yeah. I just think that through this draft and trade period and signing period, I think he's the one material guy that's going to come in and really threaten to, you know, if he's not in part of that 22, he's going to be part of that 25 or 26 that is, you know, the playing squad's decided from. So he's kind of the one material guy that we're bringing in this offseason.
Yeah.
It's him, and then it's organic growth from the group, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But I like the policy, make people earn their, you know, their call up.
Yeah, but not when there's no one else there.
No, that's probably it. But I mean, where are you going to play Erasmus? Where are you going to play Johnson?
Well, I think Erasmus is going to have to
go forward.
And I don't know why we didn't see this last year, but he's going to have to go to half forward. He's going to have to play off half back for a bit. Like he's going to have to be able to learn another little string to his bow and be able to find time there, isn't he? I mean, we can't have a midfield crew of five or six and they only play in the guts or on the wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does it work? It doesn't really work.
No, that's right. So they got to go forward or back. They don't go to the wing.
Well, you can go to the wing. Yeah. I mean, it can't just be like a strict rotation of there. Like, you've got to be able to do other stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, he can do it.
It was surprising last year that he didn't get more opportunity to spend a little bit more time forward, right?
Yeah, that's right. But it was sort of... But I guess across the ground, it's a situation where we've got an oversupply. Well, we had an oversupply. You know, who are you pulling out of the forward line to play him up there?
Oh, but there was opportunities last year where we didn't have personnel.
No, that's true.
Do you reckon? I was thinking this today. I've just considered Tommy Emmett as coming in, and you know, he's just like he'll just take Schultz's spot.
That's too big a call.
It is a big call, isn't it? I think I realise that today. It's probably not that straightforward.
No. Well, as much as we love
him. He did play three, four games that were real, real good for us at league level.
Yep.
But then he went back to Peel and kind of didn't replicate it.
No, that's right.
You'd hope that he can pick it up again when we start the AFL season next year. But you can't just consider it a laydown, can you?
No, you can't. He's not a lock. Because, I mean, it's unfair to him to put that sort of recommendation on him, because he shouldn't. I mean, yeah, we hope he does, but you couldn't really expect him to just come in and set the world on fire again. You know, his form might be up and down for a little while. You know, that sometimes I have this, you see, you know, like horses, and they go well and then they go off for a little bit, but then they always come back. So we're making big calls on what two games that he played or three or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and it's unfair to put that pressure on him, I think.
Freddie's kind of put his hand up for one of those wing spots. How would you feel about him coming up the ground? And
I'd love it.
And playing that,
I'd love it.
I could see it.
Yep,
he's got all the attributes. He needs to tidy up a little bit, but he's got all the skills. He's got the body for it.
He's got the speed. He can run. He did a lot of running last year in a lot of games where he didn't get utilised. So I think he's got the tank. Another preseason into him. I'd love it. I reckon he'd be really good. Who's going to go with him on a wing? You know, opponent wise, like if it's a one on one,
like you meant speed wise,
with an opponent. You put the ball out in front of him, and you know, he's probably going to beat most opponents to it. You know, so yeah, I'd like it. I think that'd be a good move.
Now that we've kind of progressed through the trade period, the draft period, and, you know, we're kind of aware of how the list is going to fill itself out, I think, you know, we've bought in, if we can get Seb Kuek on the on the long-term injured list.
Yep.
They've got one spot to fill. They've got Max Beattie, who's a small forward coming over from the Sandful to train on till February. So we've got a bit of competition for an empty spot.
Mm.
Expectations of Freo fans coming into the next year are going to be a lot different for 2024 than what they were at the beginning of 2023.
Oh, they're going to be off the chart.
Well, I think they're going to be pretty measured. I don't think people are going to – do you think they're going to be high?
Yeah, because I think
– we haven't added anything.
No, really. I know, but that doesn't matter in the eyes of the Freo fans. It's like we had a shocking year this year. If we don't have a good year this year, we're going to burn the joint down, that type of – it's that type of expectation, I think. So
So if you think that then, so do you think Longmuir would come under pressure at any point during the year if they weren't performing?
Well, I think I've seen
the club already react like shifting Bell, and surely a bit of that would come from public and supporter scrutiny.
Yeah, you would think so. But I was thinking about this the other day, and with our, you know, 5-year plan or strategic plan or 4-year plan, whatever it was, how do you let's say you go through it, right? And then Bell's sort of gone sideways. We move Bell sideways. You know, players come and go. How do you give – what's the point of a strategic plan if you're going to deviate from it in the – you know, with the people you had in the places to start it that you did the plan with, right? But if you do that because it's in – you feel that the goals of your plan, you're not getting there, then if you get there – you make those moves, say JL comes under pressure or whatever, and then you get to the end of that period that you did the plan and you haven't achieved your goals. Well, where's the accountability? Who's held accountable?
The scapegoat. I think it's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Just pick someone.
Okay.
But I just and I'm pretty sure you taught me this. Before you start anything, you've always got to identify the fall guy.
You've got to have a patsy. That's right. Forgot about that. But I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, we get to the end and you put the things in place and then you deviate from it. It just seems a bit, which is.
I'm not saying, do you think JL should be replaced? I'm saying, do you think he comes under pressure?
Oh, from fans, for sure.
Because we saw a little bit of it this year, but it didn't get too intense. You can just see, though, like as the years tick on, it will become a little bit more intense. But I just thought with maybe more measured expectations, he'll get a bit of a longer rope than what we anticipated at the end of last year.
No, you're reading the room wrong.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, you're reading it wrong.
I just think it'll be interesting to see as we come in. Like, if we have a real average preseason, it kind of almost.
Oh, it'll start then.
I don't know. Yeah.
It'll start.
It would start then,
yeah. Definitely. But I don't think it's going to matter because I think we're in for a 2021 type, 2022 type season next year. Yeah. I think we get back into the eight. We'll be sort of, you know, 6-8, somewhere around there. And that's enough. That's enough because, hey, you know when we did this plan? We did it in the end of 21. So it goes to the end of 25, doesn't it?
Okay, look, I've got to be honest. I didn't brief myself fully across the
plan. I think it's the end of...
I think it was more of a laughing point, wasn't it, when we said we were going to win 15 flags in 3 years?
Yeah, that was it. That was outrageous. What would you... I mean, I still reckon it's dumb putting out that type of plan, but... But, you know, what about this then? Say you get to near the end of your strategic plan. It could be counterproductive.
Sorry, you just said strategic plan, I think, about 20 times in the last
Well, that's what it's called, isn't it? Plan, period, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. But say you get to near the end of it and you're getting close but you're not there. It'd be counterproductive to then hold... whoever's there too hard an account. See, it opens up a can of worms, these plans. Don't do them. Jeez.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Anyway, the boys are all back at training. Everything's happening.
Yeah.
So wheels are in motion.
Sonny.
You know, footy will be here again before we know it.
Oh, well. What are we now? We're nearly in December. Nearly in December, man. Where did the last 3-4 months go? So, well, where do we start? March or something, don't we?
Yeah.
Jeepers. Well, where will we? And we need it back because we can't do too many of these rubbish points.
It's hard when you don't. Well, when you don't have draft, we've had really good conversations about the draft. We had Jordy McArdle come on and give us, did good podcasts. But with a kind of empty draft pick catalog, like we didn't really have much.
No, when you're not, when you're not up the top,
so it wasn't really relevant to us as well.
It wasn't. No, this was sort of a nothing draft for us this year, wasn't it?
And that's fine. Like if you're relying on the draft every year, you're probably not getting the drafts right.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know when I'll speak to you next. I've been avoiding you, as you've stated. Yep. But until that point, are you still down with the restump?
Wouldn't have thought so. But the pillow is the best advisor.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.